You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Guys, I don't know what to say anymore. I feel like the internet is breaking me. It's breaking me, it's breaking my spirit, and on the same time, I don't think every complaint they said about this episode was entirely wrong. It's not right, per se, but help me, guys. Well, what do I do?
Justin, you know I have been a defender of this season, right?
Yeah.
And I have, like, even though, like, you know, it's... The seasons have never been, like, as good as I want to say in season 3 and 4. Like, the Dorne stuff is all boring, so it's not like this show has never been,
bad?
Subpar before.
No. Yeah, sure. I mean, even some of the earlier seasons had some, like, weak-ish moments. Not completely weak, but weaker parts.
Oh, sure. The first episode is so Renaissance fair. Like, it looks totally But, you know, I was defending this season, like, you know what? I think they're working up towards something. And you remember when I said last episode, when I was like, okay... Either they're setting up like a misdirect here and really going to shock us with a really cool twist in the next one, and this is all just red herring bullshit, or this is really lazy setup and they're really kind of lost the narrative with how these characters are acting. And kind of am thinking like, oh, that second one is the thing they went with, huh?
I think they kind of did both. They're like, they do a thing that lost the narrative and totally shocked everybody. You're just like, wait, what?
Yeah, the problem is I was not shocked. Like, I was like, oh, I mean, I guess I was. It's weird because they did so much setup for the Mad Queen stuff, but when it happened, I'm like, I don't buy this. Why don't I buy this?
Yeah. No, that's exactly what something I was getting at, because I think one of the biggest problems with the show is when it's doing its politics stuff, it's fucking fire. It's probably one of the best shows on there. When it's trying to do its 40-minute battle sequences, I think it just completely forgets what the fuck it's doing.
Hey, we should probably finish the intro to the show before we get in-depth right now.
Oh, we will. Don't worry. So, hey, everybody. It's Justin Zarian, as usual. You know, me. But anyways, over here...
it's me.
Over here, we got Shaquille Lambert. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, I'm good. My unhappiness with the show has been kind of tempered with the fact the fucking Raptors are in the Eastern Conference Finals, baby! Woo!
Are we now doing the final days of the NBA Finals?
Yes, we are!
Go soccer!
The finals days.
So yeah.
Or maybe hockey. You're Canadian, right?
I don't give a fuck about no goddamn hockey.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, come on, Shaq. Stereotypes exist for a reason.
Yeah, I'm not part of that.
Usually to...
Also, we got Alan over here. How you doing, bud?
I'm here also.
And also, we got Nick Tice, the Merc with the mic himself. How you doing?
Oh, doing good. As the classic Wisconsin, I'm, of course, just drinking this well-aged beer with an underage person and eating cheese like there's no tomorrow. So some of us live up to our stereotypes, Shaq. Fuck off.
Wow.
I know what role I'm supposed to fill. I'm the mediocre white man of this show. I'm the Jon Snow.
Well, and then over here, hey, Bradley Martin is back on the podcast. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Hello. Nice to be here.
Yeah, Brad, you were missed.
I appreciate being
Brad,
missed.
You picked such a time to come back.
Yeah, well, we caught him trying to sneak through the lines like Jamie, but we stopped him on the way over here and made him record.
I told you to take off that gold hand. Such a
kind of like a flashlight.
Brad, you don't even have a missing hand. I don't know what the fuck you were doing.
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to carry gold.
Okay. Like, it's so much as you just got like a third hand. Like, you didn't think you were going to get stopped? I mean, you should go with me. At least I have a dick made out of weed that I smuggle across all the time.
So, wait, if you're... You know what? No, I'm not going to ask
Don't
yeah, let's
even,
just move on.
Just go. Just go.
Please, yeah. No, so...
Justin, you have to think to yourself, do you want me to go in-depth with this?
No.
I will.
It'd be uncomfortable to
That
smoke,
is a good decision. Yeah, you have made the right one.
So, anyways, this is episode 5, The Bells, which... What a title, I guess. I mean, I get why it's called that, but now when I watch this, I think about someone making an AMV of Danny flying over the city with a "For Whom the Bells Toll."
That would have been so sick.
Bells.
Clearly, it's "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor." Like, that's what we're playing.
Well, and then this episode, just like episode 3, The Long Night, it's directed by Miguel Sapochnik, the guy who's directed 3 of my favorite episodes of this entire show. And also The Long Night.
So. Ooh, man.
Ooh, scathing.
Also, at this point, fuck this guy. Like, I'm starting this off, fuck that guy.
No, see, here's what I think. I don't say F him, because, honestly, in terms of directing, I think he...
Because you don't say fuck, that's why you don't say fuck him.
Okay, aside from my proclivity to not swear, also because I think as a director, and in terms of directing in this episode, I think he's one of the very best directors they've ever got for the show.
I agree.
He knows how to direct action, he knows how to direct visuals, he knows how to direct actors, but honestly, this is a case where it's really David and Dan who are the guys to blame for this episode, I think.
Yeah, Justin, I'm so glad you said that, because I love the visuals of this episode. I thought it was gorgeous. I thought...
Oh, 100%.
And you can actually see everything this time.
Yeah.
I thought the direction was great. The real falling down point I find is some of the writing, and not all of it is bad, but certain key moments that they really needed to nail, they kind of whiffed.
Yeah.
So I think, so unfortunately, 100%. Benioff and Weiss are just, I don't know what happened here, but like someone dropped a ball.
I think the biggest decision that really screwed them over was making this shorter seasons. You know, because look, I get it. They
1,000%.
Yeah, maybe if they had more time to breathe.
Yeah, because apparently HBO gave them a blank check to make this show as long as they needed to, and they're like, "Nah, we got 13 episodes left. Let's just do that." And I think,
well, why is it 6 episodes and it feels very rushed when they had 2 years to work on it? Like,
every episode's like a 2 hours. Like, what the fuck?
I think that's the problem, is that they invested more into the production and the scope and the budget for the show than actually to stretch out the writing over the course of the story.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because later on when we talk about it, I have a huge gripe with this fucking season's action.
I know, I've heard it well. But, Well, I guess the best way to start is to talk about the major character who died at the beginning of this episode. Varys, we knew you well.
Varys out here snitching from the get-go.
R.I.P., man.
But yeah. my whole thing is that even with Varys' death, it feels so out of character. Like, this whole show, they've established that he's one of the smartest people in this show. And I feel like the way he got out...
A pretty sloppy treason attempt.
And yeah, the way he went out was so base-level stupid. It felt so unnecessary.
It was less unnecessary. It was more of like when they did the whole... They were getting ready. Basically, he's trying to get Jon Snow on the fucking throne. Darius like, yeah, fuck that guy. I'm going to kill him. Jon Snow's just sitting there, and he at no point goes, "Stop..." Whatever, he doesn't try to stop this entire thing. I forgot he was there.
Well, because he's still loyal to his queen. At that point, he doesn't want the throne. Well,
Jon Snow has he's the master of plausible deniability, you know? He's kind of like, what's going
loyalty,
on?
There's loyalty, but there's also, hey, tell her she's kind of nuts, because I forgot he was in that scene until afterwards.
That's, you know, Alan, you've hit on something that really pissed me off about this episode, is that Jon basically doesn't do a whole lot. He bitches and whines, but he... doesn't really do anything to stop. Like, he has so much, he should have so much agency to try and really curb this, and he does nothing.
He's been kind of set up that way this whole season, though. He just sits around. I think it was episode 2 when they leaned over to him and said, former King of the North, do you have anything to say about this oncoming siege? And I think his literal line was, I have nothing to contribute. I think that was his literal line in that episode.
Yeah, but for some reason they all want him to leave.
And he has nothing to contribute season.
And they set him up in the last thing of always being the person that's doing something, that's trying to get the Night King. And as soon as the Night King's over, he's like, well, I'm done. Fuck it. He should have went with Tormund and the Wildlings at the fucking door.
He really should have.
He lost a lot of drive, a lot of initiative.
Well, I mean, because also his character arc is kind of over. Like, there's literally nothing for Jon to do personally in the story. He's just there to go, no, I don't want the throne. I don't want the throne. But, I don't want the throne.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess his character arc as Aegon Targaryen is kind of a fourth act for him, actually.
Yeah.
Like,
Like
he doesn't have a lot of time to actually deal with it, and really, like, as far as he knows, he's done what he needs to do, and then so all of a sudden, oh, nope, here's another plot twist.
Yeah, so that's all going on, and Varys gets executed by Dragonfire after... what seemed to be a very half thought out plot to poison Dany by making her eat poisoned food, although apparently she's so upset that she can't eat. I'm just like, because after she...
No, she saw Varys coming, that's why she wasn't eating.
I guess so, too. But also, I'm like, I just, that seems very, like you said, it seems very dumb for Varys to go, like, you know what, I need to kill Dany kind of thing. I'm just like, I...
You know how I'm going to kill Dany? The same way we took out Joffrey, because she's about the same level of stupid. Wait, nope. I see where I've made a tactical error.
Yeah, I kind of agree that, like, I mean, it was cool to see that Varys went out with such a big dramatic moment, but it's like a lot of stuff this episode, and again, I hate to say I'm not completely agreeing with my friend, because I'm just angry at the fan base at this point, but it didn't feel completely earned. Like, if this episode had been stretched out over a longer course of time, maybe that would have been a better way for him to go, like, it would have been a fine death, you know?
The moments themselves feel like they should work. Like, you watch them and you go, this should be cool, but the way we got here wasn't right.
They sacrificed character for visuals.
No,
the plot is 100%. Now driving characters, and the characters are no longer driving the plot, is kind of the problem here.
Yeah.
Like,
it's weird. It's weird, and I don't get it, why it's doing that. So,
it's because Varys does pretty sloppy work. I'm like, wow, I have a hard time believing Varys would really be that sloppy with his attempt. And then Tyrion does a really dumb thing with Jaime later by, again, letting him go. And Jaime felt dumb for getting caught in the first place. I'm like, man, this feels really convenient. Like, these characters are just doing stuff to really, like, you know, get in the spaces they need to for certain things to happen. And it's not feeling very natural.
Well, also, Jaime, for some reason, and this is one thing I totally agree with the fan base on, is that for some reason, after everything that Jaime went through, after everything he did to abandon Cersei and go fight for the North against the White Walkers and all this kind of stuff, and hooking up with Brienne, that suddenly he feels like, oh, you know what? I'm a bad person, so I need to go back down and die with Cersei. And
Are we doing this now? We're going to Jaime?
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, setting it up, at least for the part where Tyrion let him go. Because I'm like, okay, because there was a point that he said where he was like, oh, I've never really cared for innocence. And I'm like, on one hand, that's true, but on the other hand, he's shown that he kind of does, so...
Yeah, it's weird, because Jaime is like, he's gone both ways on it, and they could have sold me on the unredemption, like, oh, he's redeemed, and oh, no, he's unredeemed, he's the opposite of Theon. But again, the unredemption, they almost spend no time on. It feels like, wait, why did this happen? What... You were good. You did the thing. We all finally liked you, and you were almost a child murderer. You've accomplished the impossible. Why are you fucking this up?
I mean, and I get, again, the argument that he made last episode about him going, yeah, I'm still a bad guy. I'm still, you know, I did all this stuff. I murdered hundreds and thousands of people kind of thing. I don't deserve to be redeemed. But it just felt like he said, like, it just felt like it was an excuse to get him where he needed to be by the end of the episode.
Well, when was he ever even looking for redemption? Jaime Lannister has always rolled how Jaime Lannister wanted to.
Well, that's the problem also with, I mean, again, you know, people complaining about the books, that Jaime's redemption and rebellion against Cersei was laid out much earlier in the story than it is in the show here. So it felt like they didn't know what to do with his character in terms of that. You know, because, but then even then, it's like, we saw Jaime only 4 episodes ago knighting Brienne and having a great time and being a good guy. And then for them to, you know, like you said, to go swiftly into the unredemption out of nowhere, it was just kind of like, and even him and Tyrion share a really great scene together in terms of emotional acting. But I was just kind of.
He was happy.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen him happy in a long time. It was very powerful.
Yeah, but it felt rushed, like you said. It's just, it's a great scene. I wish that it took a little longer to get to that point.
Well, it took us 7 years to get to the redemption part and one conversation to get to the unredemption. And I'm like, this feels a little unbalanced, guys.
Yeah.
Like, we've undone a lot of work all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, because I'm not sure if we're gonna finally talk about that scene, because the resolution of that scene is what bothers me more than the scene itself.
No, and I agree. So, but yeah, there's also, you know, Danny's made the point that they're gonna start the attack on King's Landing this episode. You know, they're like, nope, we're not gonna wait. Although the whole reason Tyrion lets Jaime go is because he has one last plot, which ties into the title of the episode. That if somebody can talk to Cersei and convince her that she should surrender, the key for them to not invade and not murder everybody in King's Landing is to ring the bells. Because that's the sign that they're going to surrender and that there's no more need to continue the fight. So, yeah, that all gets set up. And let's see, anything else before
I was like, finally, someone gave an alternative to burning down the city completely. I was like, okay, here's something we can do.
Yeah, and which, I mean, we'll get to that in just a second, because then also the other thing that's happening is that Arya and Sandor made it in record time, just like Jaime did, back down to this battlefield, and they're going to infiltrate the Red Keep to kill Cersei and whoever else is in the way, which... I kind of love the way that them and Jaime were sneaking around with the civilians, like, totally ignore the suspicious-looking 7-foot-tall man and the little girl next to him, you know?
Oh, that's a movie trope of, Hey, there's a huge crowd of people, but the main characters can weave in between because they have plot armor.
Well, and also the fact that Clegane was wearing his Assassin's Creed hood, assuming that people wouldn't recognize him.
His hood was up and he was among a crowd. He was covered.
There we go.
But it's a nitpick of mine, too, but Sandor Clegane's kind of notorious and downright famous at King's Landing, so I don't know, maybe everyone was like, don't bug him, you know, it's Sandor, leave him alone.
So was Jaime, but no one noticed him in that bullshit.
Hello, large stranger with facial scar on his face that look like you've built like you're kind of a medieval version of Two-Face. I wonder who you are.
Yeah, also the fact that Jaime at one point lifts his golden hand up for everyone to see. I'm surprised people didn't turn around and go, oh, hey, it's you, you know? Like,
look, I'm pretty sure everyone in that scene had way more important things to deal with than some dude with one hand that kind of looks
like I know. And that's, I guess, the excuse they give for like why nobody's paying attention to the Hound and Arya.
Yeah,
I'm like...
Just nitpicks, yeah.
Yeah. No, but then, so that's all going on, and they've set up everybody to get ready for this giant freaking battle. And who comes in but Dany just swoops in and pretty easily destroys the Iron Fleet and all the Scorpions after, you know, them establishing how much of a threat they are to our dragons in the previous episode. It's just like, okay, I learned my lesson now. Everyone dies.
Like, fuck it.
Well, the problem with the previous episode is that they got bum-rushed and they weren't expecting it, and We've always seen the power of the dragons and the strength. We've never seen the speed. And that's what really sold me in this scene, was like how fucking fast they are. Like the scorpions only get like 6 shots off Arna in the entire fight. They can't move fast enough and get repositioned fast enough. And she just, they have to get her in like the first 2 shots or it's fucking over. And that's just what happened. So
yeah,
I love that Cersei did not like understand what was happening though. As like, as soon as that started to happen, I'm like, okay, guys, this isn't a fight anymore. This is just a slaughter.
Yep. No, it's funny, too, because one of my friends pointed out the fact that the Dany forgot about the Iron Fleet comment by, I think, David, is now a running gag in the communities. Because it's like, so you forgot about the fleet of giant ballista-firing ships?
That was so stupid of them to even say that.
Yeah. No, they set up their own meme in that case. But, well, she didn't forget this time. But, yeah.
She got the Mario Power Star. Her dragon was invincible for the whole battle, man.
Dude. Dun, 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 dun. Somebody needs to edit that. That would be great. I would love that.
Yahoo!
Also, I love it, too, that they built up, you know, again, it's that whole way that people subvert expectations, quote. They built up the Golden Company to be this, like, amazing fighting force. And literally, after like a couple minutes of them setting up their armies, getting ready to battle, Dany comes in and barbecues just about every single one of them.
It's like they knew. No, dude, that fucking look, they knew. All the soldiers knew. They literally look at their clocks going, there's a dragon about to blow us up in about 5 seconds. Because they're just staring at each other until something happens.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Greg, you hear that? Does that sound like dragon wings to you, buddy? Yep, it's time to get the fuck out of here, Stan.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always said, that the Golden Company were sellsores, and that as soon as they got a look at a dragon, they would turn tail and run. And they didn't even get that chance, because by the time they see the dragon, half of them are fucking gone.
Yeah, and I love it that...
I won't lie, at first I was a little disappointed that it wasn't an actual battle, because I was looking forward to a kind of like an actual battle rather than just an 45-minute curb stomp. And, and you know, like, but, you know... Like you said, Justin, this is a show that always subverts expectations. Like, they promise a big battle, but then it anti-climaxes, and, like, actually it's super fucking easy, and everything goes down. I'm like, okay, they've done that before, so I'll roll with it.
Yeah. No, so that's going on there, and it's interesting now, because this is where we start to get to the fun part, because, you know, after pretty much, you know, screwing over everybody in King's Landing and obliterating them to pieces, and... the soldiers outright surrender at one point, which I thought was actually kind of cool, where it's like, yeah, we're going to get slaughtered if we don't surrender, kind of thing.
That was my favorite moment in the episode, because everyone's looking at each other, and Daenerys is on the wall, and this is like the key pivotal moment, because Daenerys is on the edge, you know? I'm like, okay, one more tip and she could like tip herself over into madness. So if they don't surrender, this could go super bad. So they're like looking at each other like, and I'm like, come on, just drop the sword, make this easy on yourselves. And then the bell rings and they drop that sword. I'm like, oh shit, it actually worked. And I was like, hey, one of Tyrion's plans worked this time.
Yay.
It's good. One of his plans hasn't worked since like season 5, I think.
Yeah. So,
and I kind of realized I missed smart Tyrion.
Yeah, that was great, and then that was great with getting everything else set up for that, where even it seemed to be that Cersei was the one who actually gave the order to ring the bells, too, which I'm like, okay, that's a...
Well, someone definitely did.
That seems unbelievable to me. I don't know if it was her. That seems
fucking
ridiculous.
Cersei looked... Nah,
it was either Jaime told someone to do it, or just some random captain of guard was like, "Fuck this, we're surrendering." But somebody,
I think it was a random captain, because Cersei didn't move, like she didn't budge for shit. Like she was still staying in that position for like 45 minutes. So I think it was just a random people like, "No, we give up. Let's just do this. Stop this now."
I did find it humorous.
It felt like it was the soldiers that did it, yeah.
I like when Qyburn came in, and did anybody else kind of sense that Qyburn was like, my queen, you're blocking the window. I'm trying to jump here.
No, it was less of that, and more of Cersei looking like Zap Brannigan going, stop dying, you cowards!
Stop exploding, you cowards!
Like, I'm so mad at Cersei this episode, because they built her up to being like, oh, I'm going to be the ultimate evil.
I do want to address this. Lena Headey has gone back and forth from Mad Cersei to Sympathy Cersei several times throughout the whole show. And I think she does it flawlessly, so it didn't bother me as much, but I have seen it as a complaint.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that.
I buy it from her, because she's shown herself to be... There's always that line I always remember where Cersei says to Tyrion, you're not as half as clever as you think you are. And Tyrion responds back to you, still makes me twice as clever as you. And I always thought of Cersei as someone who has thought she was smarter than she actually is. And she would always end in a pathetic way by making like, oh, I was actually outclassed this entire time and I was too stupid to realize it. And I kind of liked that part of it. Although I will admit, I do now hear Cersei Lannister going like, Qyburn, I've made it with my brother. Alert the men.
Oh, I love it. And that whole time, just Qyburn comes in, it's like...
I don't know why I would say that, sir.
I feel like it's one of those things, like, oh, we got the Iron Fleet. We don't have those, ma'am. It's like, well, we got all the scorpions around the building. We also don't have those, ma'am.
Ooh, yeah, about that.
Yeah, because it was almost like that scene from season 5 when Stannis is getting ready to go launch the army. It's like, all right, we got the army ready, right? About that.
Yes and no. Like, the army is ready, but it's a little bit smaller than it was before.
Yeah, but all that buildup of Cersei actually getting her victory and actually winning without having to, murder millions of civilians in this case. And
I think you mean Daenerys.
Sorry, Dany. Yeah, Daenerys. Sorry. Yeah. For her to not murder millions of people.
The plan goes perfect. It could not have gone better.
Yeah, and then she's like, you know what? No, I don't want to win with this. I want to win with bloodshed and violence and fire. So she goes out and starts barbecuing everybody. And as we said, it's pretty much like 40 minutes of just mass slaughter of everybody.
Slaughter, yeah. And this if this was going to happen, it really should have happened later in the episode, because it's hard to watch this for 40 minutes. Yeah. Especially when the moment, I don't know about everyone else agrees with this, but the moment where she turns... felt super unearned.
Yes,
to me.
Because like all the bells are ringing, and there's like someone had mentioned this, that there's no real balance of a scene, because before she starts attacking everybody, the last thing is her kissing Jon, and he's like, he's going away from her. He's like, all right, so be it. There's no real transfer point of like, okay, this feels like a logical next step forward. It just goes from like fifth floor to like penthouse immediately.
They put too much pressure on Emilia Clarke, because the turn happens in that moment. Because before, she's still considering it, like she still nods to Tyrion, like, okay, if they ring the bells, I'll accept the surrender.
Though she did say yes, so
she nods though, and she looks conflicted. So you can tell she's still debating it. So the turn, her decision happens when she's on the wall, and there's no dialogue or any audio or visual really indicator except Emilia Clarke's face. And she has to sell a whole entire character fulfillment arc in about, I want to say, 7 seconds with one look.
Yes.
And that's
and no dialogue.
That's too much. You can't do that, guys. Here's my pitch. Imagine this happened instead. Everything happens the same way. They surrender. Daenerys willfully, I'll show mercy this one last time. And then one of the buildings blows up with wildfire and takes out Grey Worm and a bunch of Unsullied. And suddenly she's like, fuck it, that's the last time I show mercy ever. You're all fucking dead.
That would have been better.
I still say I'm like,
I would have been upset.
I would have bought that. I would have at least bought it more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would have been upset Grey Worm's dead, but I would go like, okay, that works in service to the story.
I would have been disappointed in Dany, and I would have been spending the next 40 minutes going, oh no, what could we have done to stop this, rather than going, oh man, the writers kind of fucked this one up, didn't they?
Yeah.
They fucked it up hard because
you disconnect afterwards, because it makes, you don't feel like Dany made that decision. It makes you feel like the writers decided she's crazy.
Yeah, because when she's on the fucking perch, I thought she got injured because she was shaking. I was like, oh, maybe she got injured, and she's like, well, I might die, I'm going to kill everybody. But no, she just says, fuck it, out of nowhere, and the battle's over. That's what pisses me off the most. This is like some Walking Dead shit.
Yeah, she won, and she does it anyway. I'm like, wait, if she had to do it to win the battle, then we could make an argument for it or something, but there's no reason for her to do it. And even if she wanted revenge on Cersei, why doesn't she just go and blow up the castle? And why does she...
she takes a long way.
I mean, and she also... Did you guys notice that she starts to burn alleyways with only people in them and not no soldiers?
Yeah.
And then, at the very end, she starts burning Unsullied, Dothraki, and Northerners get caught up in it. What the fuck? Like, she suddenly turned cartoonishly evil for whatever reason.
Also, the people who are like, this is suddenly out of nowhere. Thing is... I get that the argument that it has been kind of like teased throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
That she's had like the little bit.
They set it up.
But when they actually pulled the trigger on it, like you said, is so weirdly rushed and not done well that it's like, this doesn't work. It goes.
And what's weird is that, like I said, it could have so easily sold me on it. That you could have sold me on this Mad Queen thing. You really could have. And even I don't particularly like that storyline because I feel like Mad Dany is not. The threat of a Mad Queen is more interesting to me than an actual Mad Queen. But if you're going to go that way, I can buy it. I can roll with it. But it like you said, Shaq, like the setup was there, but they needed one more scene to pull it off.
Yeah,
this episode is one scene away from being actually a good episode, in my opinion. Because it really is. I don't want to put all the blame on one scene for an episode sucking, but it really like. The last half of it is kind of like boring to watch after that point because there's no stakes. The fight is basically over. You're just watching a senseless slaughter.
See,
the only thing cool to watch is Clegane Bowl.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't feel like it's boring to watch because the whole point of that second half, I feel like, okay, this is the thing. This is clearly where the writers tried to think of theme and broader plot elements than actual characters. I feel like the point they're trying to make is that the game itself is evil. That anyone who plays in the game inherently will succumb to some decision that'll be horrible or monstrous or evil. I agree it was not set up well. I agree that it was way too rushed. But I feel like that's the whole point of watching the rest of this episode is to see how Dany, a character who is established to be this heroic character, you know, because of this supposed character flaw they established, even though I don't feel like that was established either, was, you know, suddenly like, oh, well now... she is not only corrupted, but she's so corrupted that you watch the horrors that she inflicts on the populace. And also based on the idea of like, oh, she's going to break the wheel. But I don't know if that meant that, again, I don't know what other alternative would be to break the wheel. Because I think the implication there is like, well, yeah, if King Landing...
I thought she was going to build like an actual free society or something.
Yeah,
or like the
democracy
first
is
democracy.
Breaking the wheel.
Well, but and that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. To do that, it feels like their argument is, well... you know, the only way to do that is to get rid of the old system and build a new one. So it seems like they took that as a literal. Yeah.
I think the writers forgot they wrote that break the wheel scene. I really think they didn't remember writing that down. That's the only explanation.
Yeah, all this shit you're saying, Justin, I actually do buy that. And I think I want to feel that in that scene. But I really feel is just, I'm like, I'm really disconnected from this. And, you know, I get it. You want to make sure that no one's on Dany's side anymore. So you got to really sell her evilness. So we're on John's side later because we have to be on dumbass John's side. So you really got to sell this. But after about 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, I get it. She's bad. Yeah. This is like Man of Steel only on crack, of like just watching civilians die. And also, like, Arya's pulling a mother and her child, and it's like so, like, oh, really? Why don't they just have their pet puppy and a fucking unicorn while they're at it? Like,
well, shit, the unicorn shows up later.
Like, it's so ham-handed. I'm like, okay, very much. I get it. She's evil. Fucking stop selling me on it. I feel like I'm at a timeshare where someone's trying to sell me the timeshare, and I've already bought it just to get them to stop talking to me, and they're still selling on me for some reason.
Trying to get you that upgrade, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it feels like it's that whole thing of like reveling in the misery, like the previous seasons were. Just like, oh no, it's not just bad, it's really bad. Okay, we got it. No, it's really bad.
The misery. I don't think the misery is authentic, because the people of King's Landing throughout this entire show. And disclaimer, genocide is wrong 100%, but it's kind of a city full of pieces of shit. So,
these are the people, though. They're like the mothers and children. Well,
98%
like, hey, we're just living.
Yeah, but 98% of King's Landing all of a sudden became single mothers with their adorable children. What happened to the guy at the shaming party that was waving his dick at Cersei?
Yeah.
What happened to those people?
Well, again, we've only ever seen
Cersei
a small
only
percent.
Let in people regardless to their cuteness and level of unkillability. Of like, okay, cripples first, and then elderly,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Children,
you
pregnant
joke,
mothers.
But it's Cersei. Like, Cersei would do that. It's like, okay, you guys are the point. Most sympathetic. You're less likely to die. Get in. Like,
also,
exactly,
did you guys feel that Missandei died too early? Like, why wasn't
yes.
she up there with
oh
Daenerys
my God.
As a hostage?
This should have been
because
the moment
then,
where, listen, if she had died here, then this also would have made the turn make more sense.
Yeah.
That would actually worked. Right, oh, yeah. Oh, she
moment.
Died, like, right before the battle? Yeah.
Plus, it explains why Daenerys doesn't just go in there and wipe out Cersei standing there on the castle. Like, okay, I'd hit Missandei. Like,
that's what bothers me so much. That's why, again, something that Nick said and trying to echo what Justin's saying about the whole, oh, game is evil, whatever the fuck. When she's standing on there, there's no reason why she doesn't just beeline for the fucking Red Keep and just wipe Cersei out the face of the fucking earth. There is no reason she needs to sit there and fucking go like she's eating a corn on a cob and go left and right along the fucking city destroying everything in her path.
Well, I think
it is completely pointless.
Dude, she quicksaved there when she was playing a game of Elder Scrolls and decided,
oh, no.
Fuck this town. And, like, you know? I'll reload this save later, but fuck this town for right now. I need to get my aggression out.
And then somebody goes, wait a minute, the save file's corrupted. Oh, no.
Oh, fuck. We're stuck here.
Save file's corrupted. Sorry, you gotta stick with that one. Oh, really? Oh, shit.
My karma's negative.
Although, I'll say one thing that was funny to me, at least about the turn, was that at the same time they're cutting to, like, Jon and Grey Worm and a bunch of people, they start fighting again. But what killed me was Grey Worm threw that spear hard as shit at the captain. That dude went flying.
Dude, Grey Worm was in it.
Well, and then, not just the captain, all the scenes of them fighting those guys on the ground, you see like them getting like split in half, their faces being cut off.
I wanted this from the Grey Worm. He needed to go with John Wick on some motherfuckers, and he did.
Yeah, he's great.
Well,
he's
it makes you actually feel kind of bad for a lot of the Lannister soldiers. They're dying in horrible, horrible ways. Like,
oh yeah,
and,
they're just
and it's
doing
like,
their jobs.
I'm like, okay, they're bad guys, and they're part of they're dealing with Cersei. But you know, like, okay, they surrendered. I guess we can, you know, it's fine now. And then it's like, oh, geez, no one deserves this. This is just fucked up.
It's them trying to do the whole thing where you don't overly sympathize with one person or another, because that's the whole thing where it's like, yeah, the Lannister soldiers for a long time have been shown as only evil. Like, they only serve evil purposes. But then, like, last season with the Ed Sheeran cameo and this season with this scene, they're trying to do, like, well, the Lannisters aren't all bad. Some of them are just doing their job. Which,
the Lannister soldiers some shades of gray, but they make Daenerys black and white, like, just evil. Like, that's what makes me mad.
Yeah.
It's like, no, keep her sort of morally gray, so I'm more interested in her.
Even with the Northerners, like when they start like attacking the city, one of the soldiers goes straight to rape, and you're like, what?
Oh,
the
yeah.
fuck?
One of the soldiers we see goes straight to rape,
and you're like, this. Even now, it's so unnecessary. Like,
hey guys, guess what? Next episode, we're on Team White Rapists. Doesn't that make you feel good? Because we have to kill all these dirty foreigners and make sure that they know they're inferior to us, right?
I've been calling the fucking Northerners trash all season. They started off as racist and they continued on as rapists. Fuck the North.
Shaq, I had no idea how right you would be at that point.
Well, what's disgusting is then they cut to...
The only thing they're missing is hoods and burning crosses, and they have the fire.
It was gross.
I was about to say, I think we've already got the
totally
fire
gross.
Down.
But then Jon Snow jumps to the rescue, and then we're supposed to be like, oh, he'd be a great king, because he knows rape is wrong.
Oh, look at how well he's leading and making sure his people don't rape anybody. Look all his, like, he's a regular Captain America. Look how well he's leading. Fuck you.
Like, but that's the thing, that's what they're trying to get at when Daenerys loses her fucking mind. And everyone's about to start fighting, and he's actually trying to stop his guys from fighting these guys. Where Grey Worm was like, nah, fuck this shit. I need a choreographed fight scene.
Yeah.
The whole, I'm stabbing people, I don't want to is ridiculous.
Say, Justin's been very sad, because I feel like he's so exhausted with all of this.
I'm exhausted with...
No, dude, Justin's been dealing with some shit, man.
Oh, yeah. I had a few incidents on Facebook and that such of people. Well, first of all, you know my best friend.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this right now,
dude. Your friend that was bad at the last episode, oh man, he must have been pissed.
Oh, you have no idea. And you know what? Look, I love my best friend.
If he was mad at the Nightfall or the night, sorry, I didn't remember the name of the episode.
The Long Night. Yeah.
This his head must have exploded.
Oh, it did. And you know the thing? Like, I love my best friend. He is honestly one of my very best friends in the world, and I would not trade anything for that. But
that's cool.
It was problem was it wasn't just him though. Like, I mean, because he did say a lot. Like, he literally the instant I knew exactly, because I watched this episode before he did, and I knew exactly the moment when his head exploded in this one.
Oh, we could all feel the fan hate once that turn happens. We're like, oh, this isn't gonna go over well.
Yeah, and but the thing is, he was the nice one about it too. That's the problem.
Oh no!
Shit.
Alan saw one on my Facebook. Again, I'm not going to say names. I'm not going to name out anybody. But this was just an example of why I get if this is disappointing. I'm okay with this being disappointing just because I've been disappointed so many times with TV shows now. Gotham did this, but even before that, Lost, Sopranos, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Dexter.
And that's the thing, I expect shows to disappoint me more than they please me at this point, even when I'm excited. But it's the fact that not only are people upset, but they are nuclear in hate, fuming at the, you know, foaming and fuming at the mouth kind of thing. I'm just like, it makes it not fun to even want to talk about this show anymore. You know?
Well, again, it's one of the most popular shows in the in modern fucking television. So yes, people are gonna be like, "What the fuck is this bullshit?"
People are gonna have wild investment. Because the thing is, it's with this show, people had an idea that it would rise above the usual trappings of like a final season, especially a show this type, and then go like, "Okay, we have enough faith in this for them to not fuck it up." And they've shown so far, as much as we've had like some good, really good moments, they've shown that they're probably going to fall with that. And because people have had so much more investment in this show over probably most others, then they're going to get angry. It's Star Wars syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, when you love something much, when you love something like, and it feels like, oh, part of you, and then it lets you down and it gets to a point where you can't go with it anymore, that point is hard.
It's a pure stab in the back. That's what it feels like. So
I get why people feel butthurt and everything, and I feel disappointed too. I'm honestly a little heartbroken about it. But when I look online, I'm like, okay, well, at least I'm not as mad as some other people. But fan bases are always going to be like that. Like Shaq said, Star Wars and some of the most accepting shows like Steven Universe has a toxic fan base. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, and that's the thing where it's like, I know, my friend always reminds me, like, dude, you were upset about the Mass Effect 3 ending for like a month. And I'm like, yes, I was. Oh, but I've learned to live with it.
No, it's the same level as that, though. Like, again, you have The Last Jedi, Mass Effect, Sopranos. Like, this is going to go down in history along those fucking things of just garbage-ass
ending. Actually, what
seasons.
You said about Mass Effect strikes home for me, because Mass Effect 3, I thought, like, hey, there's a lot of good character moments in this final third game, only for them to really drop the ball in the what feels like the last, you know, 20 minutes. I mean, this one is just kind of the same thing, because I was really like, I did like this season, maybe not as much as some previous seasons, but I was like, hey, there's still some fun character stuff going on, and then suddenly it just drops the ball, and it's like, oh, shit.
Really hard.
No, sorry, Shaq, go ahead, though.
If anything, this one's not as bad as Star Wars, because it's not like people verbally attack. The only target of ire from people is the actual showrunners. There's nothing against the actors themselves. It's they're just going like, no, they need to get the fuck off the damn show.
Well, and that's the thing is that I don't know, like, if I should fully blame David Dan on this, because again, you know, people aren't stirring this fact up because we don't know how much of this is actually going to be in the books if and when George actually ever publishes them.
Based on the reaction, none.
There's some rumor going on
with
now.
The George R. R. Martin, like, how much of this? It says he said it skewed to his original ending. Like, it ends in a place where the end pieces basically fall in the same place, but how he gets there is really different. And he said he did not like the finale. At least that's what I heard, is that he was on record as saying that the finale didn't go in the direction he wanted it to go. So whatever that means.
The thing is, I heard there's a rumor that he's written the last books, but then apparently it's like the producers are holding back until the show's done. I don't believe that for shit.
Really?
It took him 10 years to write one book, and he got two done in like 2 years? No way.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I don't exactly why I don't believe it.
I made the joke, episode 2, about Game of Thrones Brotherhood, and every episode this is becoming more and more real that we're going to get another series in a decade that's going to have the real ending.
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, no. Dude, I'm going to look forward to their interpretation of Envy.
There's somebody that we need to talk about that who I've got on the show and said he's the best shit ever, and that's fucking Euron. And he kind of went out in a way that was like, oh, this kind of lame, but at the same time,
yeah,
his character went out was like, hey, I stabbed you too, so I still win.
So yeah. I don't. It's that kind of lame what happens to him, but he acts right in it. Like
it feels so fitting, and I still love that character to the end for that reason.
Yeah, and that's the thing what I liked about
it. You got me, but I got you. That's all I care
Look,
about.
Look, I'm sorry. We saw the hound get the exact same wound. I'll head my bed because he might still live through
that. I don't know. But here's the thing. Like, what I like about that, because, I mean, yeah, it is weird that somehow, Euron is the one who gets the killing blow to Jaime, ultimately what would have been a killing blow. But I like the fact, too, that the fact that he pretty much died with nobody to see his accomplishments. So in the end, he just gets forgotten. Like, literally, like, it amounted to nothing in the end for him, which I kind of thought was appropriate for Euron. Like, he wanted to be a king so badly, and in the end, he just dies in the middle of pretty much, like, the back alley of the city kind of thing.
Shit ends nowhere.
That's a pretty dark arc for him, actually.
Long live my disrespectful ass king.
Also, it gives a chance for Jaime to be another Kingslayer, even though that's not what any of us... All of us were like, oh, he's going to be the Queenslayer. And then it's like, nope, he's a second Kingslayer. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
so...
That king in the middle of backwater nowhere that no one gives a fuck about.
That leads to two...
Yeah, it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, that leads to two major things, one of which I really actually generally agree with everybody I didn't like, and one that I felt was actually maybe one of the few great moments of this whole show, of this whole episode.
We'll start with the great one.
Really interested to get to this.
The great one, Clegane Bowl happened!
Dude, it's fucking...
That was rad.
See, right before Clegane Bowl, though, fucking the mountain murdering the shit out of Qyburn in the funniest way possible.
Gets one to the fucking face and just gets wrecked. That was great.
Yeah, I think they call that one the Tommen toss right into the rocks.
I'm surprised he didn't caber toss Qyburn all over them.
I'm surprised he didn't tear his head off. Like, he just kind of throws him to the fucking side and his head explodes. I expected him to tear his fucking head off.
They're fighting on a crumbling staircase, replaying the greatest scene from fucking Highlander where the mountain is the curtain. Like, all that was missing was lightning in the background. Like, I mean, they had fire, so I guess that counts of, like, elemental force.
Just missing a King and JR commentary.
Fuck out!
Oh, he just tossed him. It's Slobberknocker. He has a family.
The hound is just getting at him like, just fucking die. Why won't you fucking die?
I want to mention this because I saw it on Twitter, but shout out to fucking Wooly for Super Best Friends Play. He mentioned this, that Clegane Bowl was essentially a Soul Calibur fight where it might as well have started with the winds of change bring towards his destiny. And then a bunch of crazy ass combos, some brutal ass kills, and then a ring out.
Yeah. I was going to say, I still thought of it as the greatest wrestling match of all time. It's a Sunday, Clegane Bowl. Hey, brother, you say you're a mountain, but you look more like a molehill to me. Will the hound be victorious, or will he die like a dog?
The thing is, like, I love choreographed fight scenes with swords more than anybody. This is one of the best that the show has had. From the visuals of just everything exploding around them, the dust, the actual, like, choreography, he just takes out these fucking, like, no-name soldiers without any fucking shit, and then actually fights him, and as he's losing his fucking armor, there is so much happening in the background. It might as well just be them two on Earth, but there's so much extra shit going on, so many stories happening in the background, that it just leads into this visual as, no, fuck this whole war, this is a fight between two fucking people.
Oh, I love that too.
Nothing else matters. They don't give a shit about anything else. Cersei walks right by on the Hound, and the Hound's like, yeah, I don't care. This is what I'm doing. Like, this is my mission, this is what I'm here for.
No, Cersei was like, let me just scoot on over here.
Like, well, this is between you guys, I'm gonna let you guys talk, I'm just gonna go.
When the Mountain had him by the face and started gouging his eyes out, who, like, had their hearts in their throat, like, oh, fuck, no, he's gonna get...
not again, literally not again.
Yeah. I thought that was the end, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I'm like, oh man, he's fucked. That's Gregor's thing. That's his move. That's his go-to.
Yeah.
That's how you kind of know he's still in there, because you're always unsure. Is like, is he in there? And then when he's like, yeah, Cersei, go. I'll go. I'm gonna fucking take it. He's like, okay, he's still kind of there, but how much? I'm like, no, don't do this to me again, man. I'm still mad at the last time.
Oh, but I love it too, because that beginning there when Cersei's like, you know, stay here, defend me, and you see Clegane just turn around and look at her, and it's like, lady. Do you know how long the fans have waited for this? He just, like, with his eyes, you can see him.
I'm about to murder the fuck out of this man. Do you really want to be here,
Cersei,
for this?
Yeah, but also...
Listen to your queen, and then...
Cersei, look at me. Look at me. This is happening.
I love it how they knock off his armor bit by bit until you realize, oh my gosh, he's bloated Darth Vader at this point. Where like, just...
Well, yeah, that's the whole Soul Calibur thing with the armor.
Yeah, I thought he was actually, Leper Varys for whatever reason. Like, I thought they were his back for a second.
I mean, it's impressive makeup all the way through with that stuff. And I still love it's that same actor, which I cannot for the life of me pronounce this guy's name, like Halvor Julius Bjornsson or something like that.
God bless you.
But it was so fitting the way that ended, where, you know, literally Clegane would have won this if the Mountain wasn't immortal. Like, literally, how many killing blows did he get on this dude?
And at least seven.
Four.
Yeah, I love the fact that once he starts to pull out the knife from his head, the Hound's like, okay, fuck this. And he just tackles him and just goes over the edge. Like, this is the only way it's going to go now.
That was some Deathly Hallows Part 2 shit, where he's like, let's finish this how we started together as they go over the fucking mountain.
No, this shit was fucking WrestleMania 22, Edge versus Mick Foley through a flaming table. That's what this was.
If I'm the Hound... That's the best 5 seconds of my life, falling down there. I'm like, yes,
we'll see.
I
you got
fucking
10 more seconds
won.
Yeah, no, that was...
Man, at this point, is the Mountain dead, man?
I think burning alive from dragon
point,
fire
I,
is being,
I mean...
Yeah.
Listen, he has that GTA 5 death, where you fall from like 50 feet and it just shows wasted. He's done. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, no, and, we're all...
And that... Oh, go.
We're all kind of sad, though, that Sander couldn't get over his vengeance, right?
No!
Well, I think that's exactly who he is. He's been driven by one thing.
So that was a little sad.
He dealt with a bunch of fire crazies because he wanted to fucking at some point get to this fight.
Yeah, no,
the moment with him and Arya is another moment that I feel like this should work, and it kind of does. But with Arya's arc of being a murderous, assassin bent on revenge and letting it a corruptor, it takes, like, Sandor Clegane 2 sentences while she's, like, maybe 5 feet away from her enemy to go like, okay, I guess I won't do this anymore. Felt really fast. But
I feel like this whole season they forgot that Arya had that whole character development between season 6 and 7. It's like, so wait a minute, she went from cold, heartless, murdering cutthroat who killed Littlefinger, and then in the course of the long night in this episode, she's like, oh no, I'm afraid again. And I'm just like,
it's another moment they don't earn.
Yeah.
And, not necessarily afraid, but she was supposed to learn that her list was meaningless. A path of vengeance leads to your own destruction, as Sandor badassly showed us, and that's not a life for anybody to leave if they can get out of it. You know, like Tom Hanks in The Road to Perdition.
And if
that
she
was
had kind of seen that,
exactly,
if she had seen that with Sandor Clegane with the Mountain, I would have bought that more, but she just gets told that.
It just sounds random.
Accepts like it.
A weird random
also,
line.
Also, I would have bought that scene more if, like, if you're going to go up there, you're going to fucking die, and they should have followed it up with Sandor saying... And you know what we say to the God of Death, right? Like, recognizing that he was listening to her the entire time.
I would have asked
her. Nice. And she would have gone, not today, and ran off. I would have been like, fucking sold me on it. It was fast, but you would have sold me on it.
Nick, you should have written this episode, I feel like, at this
I think
point.
So too.
Give me a pen and paper, guys. I can do this.
I got chills, man.
Yeah,
that would have been amazing.
That's actually one of the biggest problems, because she kind of just
you want character
it,
development
like...
in 30 minutes or less? I can give this to you, all right? I'm like a pizza delivery service for plot.
Yeah, so that all happens. And then also, just a little bit there that it shows Arya going through, like, pretty much weaving through, like you said, Man of Steel slash 9/11 slash whatever going on with, you know, trying to...
Slash, well, hey, we really liked the movie Overlord, so we're going to have an Overlord sequence happening throughout this entire always, thing with Arya.
In one of the battles, they always follow one character. It was Jon in Battle of the Bastards. It was Bronn in the wagon train scene with the dragon. We always follow one character through a bunch of carnage. And... you know, they have main character armor for sure, like they all always do in that sequence.
But this one was for egregious. Me,
like, yeah.
Like what I said before, like, okay, that's fine, but did you really need to have the little girl and her mom? That felt like really extra. Like that did. It felt like you're overselling it. You're putting a hat on a hat. Like, I get it.
Like, that bothered me a lot because earlier on when Jamie's trying to get through, they show that woman. I'm like, you're showing this extra too much. This extra is going to be really important in about 15 minutes. And then they have Arya deal with her. I'm like, man, I'm so sick of this fucking bullshit.
Yeah, no, I didn't even recognize it was her. I was just like, oh, I guess this extra is important. But then, but that's the thing where it was just... like I said, it was a little egregious and gratuitous of showing, like, look, see how awful everything is happening. But although it was funny, there was that moment when that building almost crushed Arya, and you see her, like, covered in dirt and smog and soot and blood. And
I was just saying,
you could see that in her eyes. She's like, you know, Gendry was a little needy, but maybe I should have taken him up on his offer.
No, it's something visually that bothered me this episode. At one point when she's running through the alley, the building fucking explodes, and I thought she died.
Yeah.
But apparently someone was just in front of her, and she just comes in. I'm like, the fuck was that? Did you just shadow clone Jutsu that? What the fuck am I looking at?
Well, they did a place where they could cut the camera from the one take, so that's why they have a whole big thing where you don't see her and there's a big smoke thing. They do a similar thing in Children of Men in their one take.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
No, the camera okay. trick.
And Sapochnik has done that in a couple other shots, like in the Battle of the Bastards with Jon's, which Jon's one take there is actually like seven shots assembled through visual effects together. So yeah, he does a lot of that kind of invisible cutting throughout those kind of sequences.
Yeah, they're not really one takes. They just kind of look that way with some visual cutting, with some cheating. And, you know, it works.
Yeah, which again, that's why I say that.
Visually, it's fine.
Yeah, that's why I say that Sapochnik is one of the very best directors that the show has ever had. And I don't want to feel like I blame him. It's like, he got handed the script, and he was told to do your thing, and he did. You know, it's like, yeah
he can't rewrite what happens in it.
Yeah. Also, I got to say, the other person I don't blame, Ramin Djawadi, the composer, because some of the music in here is just incredible throughout this whole episode.
Oh, yeah. Music's always top-notch. Yeah. Music's always great.
Well, I mean... how is the fucking composer, short of him putting a Benny Hill theme throughout, that's going to fuck up the show? Like,
well, I'm just saying, like, I want to find things to praise, because I'm saying, like, I think on, like, in a construction level, like, if I just go purely on filmmaking, cinematography, and that stuff, this episode is, like, one of the best directed episodes of the show.
Oh, 100%. I don't think anyone can dispute that at all.
Yeah, it's just that it's a huge problem that it's the writing that ultimately sinks this show, or sinks this episode. And ultimately, the writing where it failed the most is the one I wanted to save for last, because, the last scene was Arya riding off to the distance. Okay, whatever. The thing that pissed me off, though, after all this stuff with Jaime setting up his character arc, after all this stuff they did to try and give him this development, how does he go out?
With his true love.
I guess
now,
so.
Gross. Gross.
I gotta say this. All right.
All right, let's
hear it. This entire season, like, yeah, I've said my disappointments to some things. For the most part, I'm like, you know what? I'm still enjoying this. Even with the Daenerys turn, I was like, this doesn't really make any sense. At least it doesn't occur naturally. But I'm still liking the visual scope of it. I'm hoping at the same time Cersei gets got in a satisfying way. And for this to happen, this is the point where I, for like a good 10 minutes, I turned into that angry fan. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Hey guys, let me write a better scene for you again, if I may.
Oh no.
If I may write a better scene for you.
I don't think I can take it. I don't think I can take your better scene. Sorry,
and of course, she's alone, and the Daenerys comes up there, grabs her with the dragon, takes her over King's Landing, and fucking drops her.
Or, literally...
we're gonna end this shit like Dragon Age Origins, where someone just falls off the fucking dragon into fire.
Like, she'll drop her right where Missandei fell, too. Like, it's, like, you know, at least poetic in some way.
Or,
the other thing that could have happened with this, literally there were numerous points where Jaime's been prompted to... want to kill her, because, like, what, Euron's like, oh yeah, I have the queen too, and I thought that would have affected Jaime, where he felt betrayed by her, you know, like, oh, did I just mean so little to Cersei kind of thing. But literally every point when they could have written a scene of, like, him confronting her about that, and maybe having a moment where he has some, like, last bit of, like, twisted vengeance before he died,
she's She's betrayed him. So, she tried to kill him with Braun. He knows that. And he has so many reasons to really, you know, to finally be the last straw and actually just stab her and end it once and for all. But just because he loves her enough, I guess.
Which is gross and weird.
These people couldn't find a single person to actually have... do the satisfying final blow. It could have been Jamie. It could have been Ari. You had a multitude of characters who all have very legitimate reasons to do the final blow and kill her. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's some people who also argue that, like, her being, like, crumbled under, like, the fucking building or whatever is a reference to, like, the last line in The Reigns of Castamere. But at the same time, that's not an excuse. I get that it's for, like, cyclical reasons or shit, and, like, tying it back to something else. But no, that's fucking horse shit. I don't buy that.
Remember how Walder Frey bit it? Remember how we hated Walder Frey, and yeah. he went out like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And we hate Cersei more than we hate him. So it's like, okay, she's got to go out extra special.
So something that bothers me about Arya's entire fucking thing is that you have the whole Clegane thing discussion. I thought she was just going to ignore his ass because that's what she does to every other fucking character. At one point when Cersei goes down to the fucking basement, I swear to God there's either a fucking shitty extra or some bullshit in the background of someone that looks either like Arya Stark or fucking Jon Snow in the background, because that's not Jaime Lannister because he appears in a different scene. I assumed that Arya said fuck it and was just going to go stab him because Arya will just solve everyone's problems.
You know what I thought? I thought because Jaime was injured before going to the stairs that he was going to go up there and then stab her and reveal it was Arya stealing his face and he's dead in the stairway. He never made it.
Yo, that would have been dope.
That would have been dope, and I still would have...
Give me a pen and paper. I can fucking do this.
I still would not have preferred Arya to win because, you know, she got the Night King. She already would have gotten too much if she had also won, but...
No. We need her to kill everybody that's a problem. She'll kill Daenerys, she'll kill Thanos. Like, everyone that's a problem, Arya will take her ass.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it just ends with them being crushed by rubble while they embrace each other. And I'm just like, look, and I know, incest is creepy and gross and weird. The only reason I say, like, yes, the only argument I can think is that, well, she is the only woman he's ever fully loved, but it still doesn't feel earned at all for this ending the way it happened.
I'll tell you the one part I did like
he
about that
scene.
He was
in an abusive relationship, and all these shows, and then I'll stop. They gotta stop showing abusive relationships as an unconditional, beautiful love that you can't let go of. It was gross, it was disturbing, and I had no sympathy for it whatsoever. Jaime and Cersei going out that way was disgusting.
That's a coward's
Cersei
way
Cersei doesn't deserve the that ending of solace to be comforted by someone she loves. She has done nothing to earn that. But I'll tell you what I did like about that scene. I did like that Cersei does finally realize how fucked she is, and she's like, I don't want to die, please, I don't want to die, and she goes out like I always thought she would, pathetic, because I always found her, once she's stripped of her power, I find her pathetic.
Lena Headey did a great job.
I
think all the actors did fine, yeah. I think all the acting was pretty superb, unless anyone disagrees.
No, I agree.
Absolutely. The acting was fine. That's not my problem. My problem is the way it set it up is almost like they try to add some sort of sympathy on the fucking character of like, oh no, she's actually still just a fine person, even though she's blubbering. Like, I felt like it wasn't as, like, I don't know, maybe she either should have handed up a little bit or just set it up a little better because it's just like, dude, am I supposed to feel sorry for you? Go fuck yourself.
If you were to do this, you have to do this after the Walk of Shame where we finally do kind of feel sorry for her.
Exactly.
Because we don't feel sorry for her anymore. We got reminded, oh right, this is why I hate this bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Well, it's like we were supposed to subconsciously feel bad because she was all, I'm carrying a child, you guys, and it's Mother's Day, so toss me a bone.
Oh my God. Happy Mother's Day, yeah. Cersei.
I'm so sick, and that's the running narrative that Game of Thrones has never been particularly great with its women characters. I feel like, it's been hit and miss, I'll admit, but the ending of this season feels kind of like the lessons learned here are... A woman in power is always inherently evil and will always be inferior to a mediocre white man that fails his way to success.
Yes.
And women characters can be strong, but only if it's raped into them.
Ugh. Yeah. And in the case of Sansa, it feels like both are being put in this case, where she has to... Yeah, it's just... Because also, Sansa doesn't show up this episode.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what I was talking about last week with that conversation with Sansa and the Hound. That shit was so gross.
It was.
And this is just...
That was not cool.
And this is just... And it's just going expanding on that just in an even worse way. So yeah, this show, like, I know again, it's not as bad as most other season series finales go, or at least like final seasons. It will never be as bad as Dexter, but this is, in terms of just like dropping the ball, this is like some legendary shit.
Yeah. I feel like if you're a woman and you're mad at this episode, I really can't fault you for that, because they underserve a lot of people's favorite female characters here.
Yeah, this is going to go down in history as like Lost Part 2, man.
It feels very 90s in the way it's portraying some of its story tropes here. Like, yeah. I'm like, why is this so weird?
What also kills me is that for next week, apparently the showrunners have said they're going to stay off the internet when the finale happens.
Because they don't know what they're talking about.
No, but also because I think they're trying to dodge the backlash. And I think if what I read is true, because the leak, there's a leak for these last two episodes. And I read that leak.
Before you say I'll that, say let me get my theory out there
No, I'm not going to say anything about the leak. I'm saying if what in that leak happens for real, oh, people are going to be pissed.
I'm sure.
Yo, those guys are going to go in a bunker for like a decade.
Tell me, because I'm so sure that my theory is right, I want to save it for the end in case it's a spoiler for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't even confirm or deny whatever you say what it is, so don't even ask.
If anyone knows if I'm right or wrong, do not fucking message me about it. Don't like fucking tell me either way.
Yeah,
you know what? I don't know anything about it.
I'm just going to delete my Twitter. You know what? I'm just going to break my phone. Yep. All right. I'll replace it next week.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like the next episode, and I haven't read anything about any leaks, of course, it's going to start off with like a 10 years later thing, isn't it? And just piss off
everybody.
They're
not ending this like Gotham.
Are you sure, though? Are you sure about that?
They better not end this like Gotham. Like,
and then Jon Snow will be... up in the north, doing the lumberjack thing like Dexter did, and that'll piss everybody off.
That would be fucking awful.
I love that Brad's theory is combining the worst elements of all finales.
Well, and then before the lost one too,
they were all in heaven the whole time.
But it's gonna cut to black right at the end.
Yeah,
too.
No, seriously. But like right before the very ending, it's gonna cut to black right at the moment before anything actually happens, so they can't say if cruelty does win you or cruelty doesn't win you favor in the end. You know, just like Sopranos.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, but why did it all end in a church? That was weird.
As me and Nick have tried to consistently predict the ending of Gotham in this, we're just going to be wrong this time, man. Like, whatever.
I'll give my wrong prediction then.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's literally everything that happened in the episode, and we've talked it to death, because this is literally the moment where the fan base went nuclear with this episode. Like,
it's a lot of people's breaking point.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, I can't fully blame people. Like, I've been in defense about this for a long time, long time, since last night, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it feels like it's been an eternity since this episode already came out, just by the way that it's just infecting the internet with people just being angry and pissed. But I will say, at least some people are trying to defend to at least make sense of saying, look, fine, maybe this might not end well, but to say that it sinks the entire show and makes everything pointless that we invested into this, I don't feel that's a good behavior to approach this with. And again, it's not like everything about this episode sucked. It's just the things that sucked really bad. You know, it's just
right. The key moment they really dropped the ball is that, like, if you need to sell a fave character taking a turn like that, you can't put Anakin Skywalker level of effort into it. Like, oh, he's the leader of the... He became a Sith because his wife died and he's sad. Like, it's... You've so gotta stupid. Really put the work in and sell us on this.
Oh, yeah, it is literally like the Darth Vader thing, man. She killed all the younglings.
She killed the younglings!
Why?
Also, want to bring up one thing I wanted to bring up slightly was, like, in terms of disappointment, even the cast is disappointed but trying not to say anything. Because, like, I don't know if you've seen any red carpet videos or anything like that, but they're like, oh, how do you feel about it? And they're all trying not to say it. Like, this is bullshit. Just like, you know, you have to wait and see. But you know they're just like, yeah, no, this is some horse shit.
It's written all on Emilia Clarke's face. She's like, what did she say? She says, you know, it's over now, I guess, you know, so.
Check is cleared.
So, okay, I guess before Nick goes into his predictions or whatever, I do want to talk about, like, one of the reasons I'm really just not liking the season is I think that this show is so busy trying to do its overbloated action scenes, it's forgetting everything else. Because the first two episodes are just dialogue, and they're my favorite episodes. Then episode 3 happens, and it's like, you guys are trying so hard to be Lord of the Rings with your action scenes and your vast settings that you're dropping the ball in almost everything else. The two biggest battles in this season are almost some of the worst episodes because of all this extra bullshit. Like I know you like them to a certain visual degree, but I can't stand them to a visual degree because I fucking love sword fighting and all this shit, but it's so busy trying to just show the nuclear destruction power of the dragons that that's all they fucking give a shit about. So that's why I really don't
there
like
this
episode.
There needs to be more dialogue during them.
Yeah.
I think Alan's right. Is that it just goes too long without anyone saying anything or furthering anyone's character, and we're just seeing cool shit blow up.
Michael Bay comes in, directs fucking, you know, the dragons for 30 fucking minutes, and then we just go to this bullshit, and it's like, this is really starting to piss me the fuck off. I'm at this point, I don't want a battle scene for the final episode. I want it to be as good quality as episode 1 and 2 to end this fucking show off.
Well, it looks like the next episode is not going to be a battle-centric one, because, I mean, it looks like there's literally nothing left to do in King's Landing with all the ashes shown in there.
There might be, but 10 years later.
Please, Brad, if you are right, I am going to... Well, I'm going to be in England when this happens, but I'm going to strangle you from across the pond. If that
I'll just be chilling out all of a sudden like...
Listen, Justin's gonna learn some like Hogwarts magic.
My poor little kids will be like, there's a Sith around. A Sith is choking our dad. I had one really short theory before you start into yours, Nick. It'll only take like 10 seconds.
I want to hear Nick's theory.
Last ridiculous, silly theory from Brad. Arya jumped on that white horse and rode to heaven. She's dead. She didn't make it.
You know what? This is the best theory you've done this season.
We gotta stop letting
you. You know what I loved about that theory, Brad? Is that it was short.
I also like to say that there was a video already, because Twitter is fast as fuck, that final scene with Arya and the horse, someone already put Old Town Road to it.
Of course they did.
Shane, come back, Shane.
There are no more dragons in the valley.
I got some dragons in the valley.
Now, I want to make this moment special, so Nicodamus, please, take it away with your predictions.
All right, here we go. So, my thought here was that I was trying to figure this out and piece this together because I couldn't get the structure of the showdown, because they haven't used Bran in a couple episodes, and Bran has been a pointless character, and I thought, why did we spend so much time with Bran if he's not really going to factor into the plot but at all? And he really hasn't done much this season. And if we were to believe his future vision, this would be the best outcome he could hope for. It needs to happen like this in order for everyone to come out okay. Except that almost can't be it. There has to be another... Like, you can't sell me that this was the best way to do this. In fact, Bran was basically the one that gave the information to start all this off and really fucked this all up in the first place. So my theory is that it's not the best thing. Everything that we've seen from these last two episodes is a vision from the future that Bran has. Remember?
Wait, they're gonna fucking...
Yeah, they're gonna Saint Elsewhere's it. Trust me on this. I can see it coming.
They're gonna Twilight this? We're the last fucking thing?
I tell you, they're gonna do
it,
guys.
God.
And it's gonna be stupid, and people are gonna be fucking mad. And I'll tell you what, tell you how far back it goes. Do you remember how everyone was complaining that Bran was warging out during the Night King battle and wasn't doing anything?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the thing. I feel like that has to factor into something. But at this point, because it didn't happen this episode, they're going to wait till the last episode. That's really going to be way too late. Like really.
Because that means almost half of the final season, which is only 6 episodes, is a fucking dream sequence.
I will.
Oh my god! No, forget jumping Brad if fucking Arya goes to heaven. I'm jumping you.
Benioff and Weiss are trying to have their cake and eat it too. They want the Mad Queen Daenerys, but then they want to go back to have the nice Daenerys, so they please both fans and have Jon live with the wildlings and everything, so they can kill everybody in one, and then everyone can live off happily ever in the other.
Oh man,
Jesus,
I hope that's
right.
Listen to what I'm saying. Does it sound false? Does it sound wrong?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I saw a meme a long time ago where everyone's like, yeah, if it was a dream sequence, they'll go all the way back to literally Bran in season 1 waking up going, oh, I know what to do now, kind of thing, after he was in that coma or whatever. But,
man,
I know. That's a joke. But yeah.
I fucking hate Bran Stark more than anybody on the fucking
planet.
We know! Yes, Shaq!
Look, it's either that or Bran wants everyone to die, because this can't be the best way to do this, right? Like,
then I could still get my Mulan ending.
There's no way this was the best scenario.
Yeah.
I do think that that is a possible ending that literally nobody wins. Like, I think they're aiming for that ending of just, like, literally the throne gets destroyed and it's just a fruitless, pointless thing that everybody went into this effort only to just either die or get nothing in the end. Like, that feels like
trust me on this.
Democracy.
They're gonna try and please both. They're gonna try and please everyone and end up not pleasing anyone. Trust me, I can feel it.
I don't know, man. Maybe is Bran Stark gonna?
Why did they bring up that element of time travel before, where he affects Hodor from the past? Why has that never come up again?
Oh yeah, he does cause time travel.
Yep.
Nah.
Okay,
no way.
Why is that?
I kind of agree with you that Bran Stark's visions are going to play a influence. I don't think that the last two episodes have been a dream sequence, though. That's the only thing I disagree with. I don't think the last two episodes are yet.
He just goes back or does something to adjust it or something?
Yeah. There is going to be some bullshit where he changes some shit that happened. Maybe he saves Jon Snow. Maybe he actually changes something with Daenerys. But I don't think that the last two episodes were a dream sequence.
Oh, okay. But we agree it's going to be a Deus Ex Machina with Bran, right?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that does.
If not, I'm just jumping out a fucking window like Thomas.
And again,
did.
If I'm right, no one fucking Tom tell me. No one fucking tell me or say shit.
Well,
but I feel like I'm right.
The good news is, though, because, this is pretty much the end of the episode here. I don't think there's anything else we could do that could top that in terms of how to end this episode.
No.
But that's also the announcement that I'm not going to be here next week because my lovely wife and I, we are going on our honeymoon to London. So
their official honeymoon. They're finally doing it.
Yep. So, so you guys will hear everybody here, which I think, Nick, you said you wanted to take charge of that one, right?
Justin, I will humbly request, as the, again, Jon Snow of this, if, you know, the actual leader is going off somewhere else, I will, you know, as the mediocre white man, fail upwards into leadership. Yes, I will accept.
Do we have any opposition to his rule here? His ascension?
Or should I deny it and pretend like I don't want it for a couple episodes?
No.
Or is that too late for that?
Too late for that, but it's a Game of Thrones. Just do it anyway.
No, Shaq will give out some information to ensure that I'll be in charge. Like, I'll trust Shaq
with something,
be Bran Stark,
and
he'll totally
then.
Fuck me over.
Shaq Stark. Yeah, there you go.
I might have to execute Alan with Dragonfire, but, you know, you win some, you lose some. You can't, you know, make an omelet and everything.
I'd rather be Tyrion. I'm cool with
Wait,
that.
You're saying you're going to make an omelet out of the Birdman
there?
Oh,
you'd really rather be Tyrion?
Yes.
But I don't want to die. Why does anyone just move to the left? I don't know what the range of that dragon's fire is, but that cone seems pretty small sometimes.
Well, it's the heat that kills you.
Someone on Twitter was like, yo, fucking Drogon must have mad heartburn after just screaming fire for an hour.
Yeah.
No, he seems to love it, dude, because they never brought this up, but I think at one point in season 3 or some shit, where they're like, oh man, the dragons are uncontrollable. They never bring that back up.
Drogon's,
I think it's because
Drogon's
give
eating
that
children
dragon
before.
Some giant ass antacid. That's what he needs.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
Yeah, no, that's it. So, I believe for this next episode, we will have Chris on. So, he volunteered to be on this final episode with us.
I am very curious for his take on all of this.
I am too.
Fortunately, he's like the golden company. We're going to bring him on. You think he's going to say a lot, but actually we're just going to kill him right in the beginning.
Yeah. So, yeah, expect to hear him on next week's episode. And, yeah, I am very curious to hear what you guys say about this. I'm curious to just watch
the
episode.
I cannot wait for next week. You have no idea.
Yeah.
I can, man. I almost don't want to watch next week's episode because I just don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
Yeah, so that's going to happen.
I'm excited, not for the right reasons.
That is exactly why, because I hope that leak is real.
I can't wait. Let's just end this off. We've gone on for about an hour and 10 minutes. So, Shaq, where can people hear you on the internet? Your lovely podcast stuff.
You can find me laughing about all this shit over on Shaq Excellence. That's S-H-A-K Excellence. That's on all the social medias. You can also find me here on oneofus.net on the Screener Squad and the Breakfast Pub occasionally. You can also find me over on my podcast Sequels at Sequels 2 E's. We just put out our Lost Boys, the Thirst episode, and we should have our Tremors 2 episode coming up real soon. And that's where you could find me, and you could download that on anywhere you could find podcasts.
All right. Then, Bradley, where can they find you?
Oh, hey, you can hear me on the Screener Squad talking about movies. That's pretty much it. I'll be here, you know, talking about Jon Snow and his beautiful hair.
He does have nice hair. Where does he get product in Westeros? Where does he get hair gel? Where is that?
Someone asked. It's giant. Someone also had the question, where does Grey Worm get his barber? Because that man's lineup is crisp as shit. There's no barbers in Westeros.
Dude, the Unsullied are disciplined in not only fighting, but style. He has swagger.
Well, it explains fucking Daenerys' hair, because that's a complicated-ass fucking, like, setup. How the hell did she do that?
Yeah. Well, Alan, where can they find you?
Yes, if you go to Facebook and type in The Chat Attack, yes, we got rid of the midnight. If you type in The Chat Attack, you will find a blue logo this time, and you'll see me belligerently bullshitting about all sorts of other bullshit. We recently just did a review for Detective Pikachu, so check that out. And we're going to be talking about John Wick when this Saturday, so be sure to check all that out.
Nice. And Nick, the Merc with the mic, where can we find you?
The Merc with a night.
You can find me writing fan fiction endings to some of the most awful finales in the world, working on the Sopranos one right now. He ends up being a Highlander. but you can also find me on many of my podcasting projects, including Netflix and Kill, where we review killer movies on Netflix with a bunch of cool guests, including a bunch of people from One of Us. That's on Netflix and Kill on iTunes and Stitcher. My Stand Against Evil podcast, Pod Against Evil, for that show, if you're interested in a funny Ash versus the Evil Dead kind of comedy vibe. I'm part of the Good Die Young season 2 Les Weiler's podcast. He's over part of the TV Dudes. That'll be coming out pretty shortly, I think, and I'll be on every episode of season 2. We're talking about Happy Town.
Nice.
And also Screener Squad One of Us in general.
I'm excited for that Screener Squad review, because I know Shaq and Nick actually took a review on their own, and they're just like, dude, we can't wait, because it's finally a movie that isn't pure garbage like most of the stuff.
Yeah, we won't say what it is, but it's a really good movie.
Yeah, you guys...
The movie wins on its title alone.
Yeah.
You guys are lucky, man.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. So, yeah, look forward to that, I think, in the next week or two when the embargo lifts. But, thank you all for listening, and I almost dread coming back next week to talk about this stuff. But thankfully, I don't have to do that. You guys do. So, there we go.
Yay. All shows must die.
Valar Shogulis, if you say that.
Yes. There you go. Thank you.
Valar Shogulis. That sounds right.